Well, hello. How's it going? Hey, we're going to start putting people in other people's laps, so don't worry. We're going to stack it to the ceiling, all right? Now, hey guys, welcome to Encounter. We're sorry for the. I know we're making some adjustments back here, guys, and we're going to get it all sorted out. I promise. We'll make the adjustments as we go. But here's the great thing. We're all here together for one reason. We have an amazing, unique opportunity to experience God in a very unique way. And that's exciting, right? Yeah. Come on, amen. Is that exciting? All right, but before we get started, I know we got just a few more coming in. I want to just, if you're on the Encounter team, please stand up real quick. If you're on the Encounter team, please stand up. Look around, guys, okay? If you need something, this team is here for you. All right? This team is here for you. So I want you to make note of who's standing up. If you need anything, please, we're here to serve you. All right? We want to serve you. It's our pleasure to serve you. And so if you need something, connect with your table host, connect with anybody with the Dream Team shirt on. And we're so thankful that y'all are here. I want to ask Pastor Jeremy to come up, and he's going to kind of kick us off tonight.
Thank you, Mom, for starting the applause. Hi, everybody. This is a little overwhelming for me, as I'm sure it may be for some of you, especially if you're introverted and here you are in a room full of people at a table that maybe you find yourself with new faces, new names, and I want you to know there is no better place that you could be right now. I want to just share just about 3 minutes with you, and then I want to pray over you. First of all, in 1970, this chapel was built, and for the first 70 years of the church's life, we had about 100 to 150 people in attendance. And now to see this chapel full to the brim and people waiting outside and having to bring in additional chairs, and we don't even have enough tables for a specific group of our church that wants to take another step a little deeper in their relationship with Jesus, it's astounding. I want to say there are these moments in the Bible where crazy things happen, but it requires an act of obedience. When Jesus steps out on a sandy seashore and he's speaking and he invites Peter to launch out into the deep, let your nets down for a catch. They had fished all night and hadn't caught anything. They were tired third shift workers who, with no fish in the nets, means no money at market, means nobody's happy. And they're going to go to sleep, hit a few hours, come back to the same sea in the next night and hopefully try it again. And Jesus, in his audacity, says, launch out into the deep. They had just finished cleaning the nets. And Peter says, we've done it all night, but because you say so, we'll launch out. And had they not been obedient, even in the middle of low expectations, they would have missed something unbelievable when God stirred the water, the nets were full to the point of breaking, and it started a life change for Peter, his brothers, and his entire fishing expedition. There's a story of a man named Naaman who doesn't even know God. He's a Syrian warrior general, and he has leprosy. And he goes to find the prophet. He wants to be healed. He expects the prophet just to wave his hand over him like he saw on TBN one day. And instead, the prophet says, go dip in the dirty Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman went, and he dipped. He could have stopped at dip number 3, dip number 5. But Elijah said, you dip, I dip, we dip. No, sorry, that's not spirit inspired. He dipped, and had he stopped short, he would have missed something miraculous. But on the 7th time when he dipped, his leprosy was cleansed. His skin was like a newborn baby. It was like he was reborn or born again. There's a moment in Jericho, the heavily fortified city, the very first city that the Israelites are going to face when going into the promised land. And instead of using battering rams and catapults, they march around the city and they worship 7 times, 7 days. On the 7th day, they go 7 times. There's something about stepping out of your comfort zone, doing something consistently, trusting God in the process. This is your casting nets opportunity. This is your worship around the walls opportunity. This is your go and dip in the Jordan a few times and see what God does opportunity. If you want to get this much out of this experience, you will. If you want to get this much out of this experience, you will. Set your expectations high. For those of you, I want to challenge you, maybe we're going to get in and you're going to be a little amazed, and this is going to come easy. Others of you, you're going to be a little perplexed, and you're going to have to do some spiritual searching and some intellectual searching and some surrender. Some of you may be even in the room today, and we're split up, guys and girls, and you're like, I don't know if I signed up for this, and you're maybe a little skeptical. It's okay. The Bible's full of people who are amazed, perplexed, and skeptical. That's okay. But really what you see is when those people can simply take one more step of surrender and one more step of obedience, God meets all of us right where we are. And that's what he wants to do tonight. And this is not a dip your body in the Jordan seven times or march around seven times, but there is 7 weeks. There are 7 weeks that I believe are going to be a journey of one layer after the next, one layer after the next, that God's going to speak in a fresh way. We've designed this a little differently than our Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are more wide open door for anybody in any place. It's like the foyer of your home. It's like the front porch of your home. This is more of the kitchen. This is where we get in, we cook together. This is like the kitchen and the living room. We go a little deeper. And I felt the need that we needed to design an experience that could help us just go a little bit deeper beyond a Sunday morning to really find freedom and know God in a dip seven times kind of way. And that's what this is. So stay open-minded. Stay ready. Expect big things. And God is going to ask you to launch out into the deep. But he has something great for you. I really do believe that. Can I pray over you? Father, I'm so just excited about the celebrations that I know are going to come in 8 weeks. Freedom that's going to come layer by layer. Shame that's going to be lifted. Identity that's going to be found. Aha moments. Those that are faithful in Christ for generations, decades they've been serving Jesus, but there's going to be some nuggets that really minister to them. May they be hungry and thirsty after you. Lord, I pray that no matter where we are in this journey, we may be brand new to Christ, or we may not even have experienced Christ and we decided to come here and investigate. God, may they know that this is a safe place that they can dive in a little deeper. And I pray that at the end of this, they will truly have had an encounter with you. We ask it in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Everybody said amen. Hey, love you guys. So proud of you for being here. You're looking good. You're just a good-looking bunch, okay? The ladies' circles are much better looking than the guys, but everybody's good-looking tonight. Give it up for Justin Lindsay as he comes.
Hey, hold this microphone a little bit closer to you. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. It's always great to hear from our pastor, and I love that he believes in so much of what we do, and so it's exciting to get to be a part of this. So we're going to kind of jump right in. I know the first night's always a little hectic. You know, it can always, like he said, it can be just a little bit scary at times. Can everybody hear me good in the back? We good? All right. It can be scary coming into a new environment. One of the things that scares people the most is the unknown. But just know this, our number one goal here is that we may know God a little more, is that we may experience Jesus at a deeper level. And so we are here to serve you. We are here to walk this journey with you. I've had the privilege of being part of Encounter since the day it started, and it has completely transformed my life, my family's life. It has been one of the key tools that God has used to truly transform my mind, the way I see things, the way I perceive things, the way I work through difficult obstacles. And so if it works for me, if you knew my whole story, and if you really knew my whole story, you would look and say, God, you're going to use that one. You can laugh at that. That's okay. But remember, he used a donkey. And when I read that scripture, I was like, you know what? There's still hope. There's still hope. God used a donkey in the Bible. He can use me. And so, but I just want you to know, we everybody sitting around this table that's on this team has been through this class. They've been through the retreat. They believe in this process. We believe in you. And I will say this, if you will buy into the process, I can make you this guarantee. If you will buy into the process, if you will lean in and allow God to do what only God can do in your life through this process, I promise you will come out on the other side of this with more freedom. You'll have a deeper walk with Christ, and you will meet and experience God at a new level like you haven't before, okay? Is that a good guarantee? Does anybody in here tonight desire to know God just a little bit more? I know I do. Amen. All right, guys, well, we're going to jump right into this. We got a couple cool things we're going to do tonight. And so I just want to open up with this scripture in Job, and it's Job 42:5. And it says this. Tonight we're talking about how to encounter God, or what does it look like when we encounter God? And we're talking about our identity. Because here's the thing, is when we know who we are in Christ, it changes how we deal with everything. A prime example is Thursday I took my daughter to the doctor. She woke up Friday screaming bloody murder. And how many parents do we have in here? Okay? Does it not just break you when your kids are hurting and you can't stop it? Right? So we had to take her back to the doctor Friday, and she admitted to the hospital. She ended up having surgery on her ear this morning. And I could tell you that in this circumstance, I had an opportunity of how I respond. And here's what's awesome about it, is I got to see God move in my kid's life. I got to see God move in my family's life. All right? On this, and this is small. Everybody in here has dealt with something this week. All right. If nobody in here has had any struggles this week, please see me after class and tell me your secret. But there's a guy in the Bible that knew more about struggle than anybody that I know, and his name was Job. Who knows the story of Job? I'm going to tell you, Job dealt with some stuff that I would never want to have to experience. Job lost it all. And this is what Job says in 42:5. And here's that scripture so important because of where it's at. Job 42:5, this is where God restores Job. The other 41 verses, I don't want to sign up for that. The first 41 verses are brutal of what Job went through, but he never lost sight of God. But this is what he says. He says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I heard of you. Has everybody in here heard of God? Have you heard of Jesus? I heard of you. I know things about you. I've heard of great things you've done. But he goes on to say, he says, but now my eyes see you. See, there was a transfer in the relationship when he says, I've heard you. I've heard about you. I've heard about Jesus my whole life. I was raised up in a house full of preachers and teachers. My brother's a senior pastor. My dad was a pastor. My uncle was a preacher. My grandpa was a preacher. I was raised up hearing about God. But it took me seeing him to transform my life. And when I encountered God in that instant, it changed everything about me and everything about my life. See, when Job saw God, it changed everything. And can you imagine Job looking back on everything he dealt with? He lost everything. And he looked back, and now he can see God, right? He's encountered God, and now he can see through these 41 verses of trials and tribulation and lost and hurt, he can see that God was with him the whole time. See, there's a song that says he's the God of the valleys and the God of the mountains. See, the same God that walked Job through the valley is the same one that restored him on the mountain. That's the same God we're talking about tonight. The same one that restored Job is the same one that wants to restore you. It's the same one that wants to restore me tonight. And I'll never get to a place where I don't need more of Jesus, ever. None of us will. Even after Job was restored, his vision had to stay on God. Because if he would have ever lost sight of who restored him, He could have easily got focused on his past pains. It's easy to get focused on what's behind us. But God says, I'm in front of you. He says, I'm behind you. And he says, I'm all around you. So God is, he is between us and our past. Listen, it does not matter what you have done up to this point. You can't change it. You cannot change what you have done up to this point. If any of y'all have a time machine and can go backwards, please, so I can go to my 13-year-old self and eat a little different, right? I'd have made a little better decisions at the kitchen table. But we can't. You cannot go backwards, but guess what? Every one of us have an opportunity tonight to start anew. Every one of us have an opportunity to walk forward, right? We have the opportunity to move forward in the kingdom with a deeper relationship with Jesus. And I don't know about y'all, but that right there excites me. Because I know where I've been. I know what I've seen and what I've done. And I don't have to look at it no more because of what Christ did. I get the privilege of waking up tomorrow, a brand new creation, a brand new Justin Lindsay because of what Jesus Christ did for me. And I get to encounter God today and tomorrow and for eternity. And that is something that I could never, ever, ever, ever imagine giving up. Does that sound good? Does anybody want to encounter Jesus tonight? Yeah. Amen. Come on. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at that. What is an encounter? It's simple. The definition of encounter is to come upon face to face or to come upon or experience something unexpectedly. It's an unexpected encounter. It's something face to face. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to take just a little bit of time around your table. The table host is going to help y'all with this. But we want to take just a little bit of time. And if you look in the back in your books, in your appendix, there's an appendix A in the back of your book. All right, and we want y'all to fill this out. And we want to answer this question. Have you ever had an encounter with someone, it doesn't have to be God, with just someone in general, that has changed your life? How was your life changed after that encounter? We're going to take about 10 minutes and do this at the table.
Fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonders. Spirit come. What you spoke is now unfolding. Children shall behold it. Dreams awaken in this moment. Spirit come. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now. Let your glory fill this house. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now. Let your glory fill this house. Now the world awaits your presence, and this power within us, we will rise to be your witness. Spirit come.
Good steward of your time. I do want to make an announcement real quick before we go on. The capacity in here was it got met real quick and kind of unexpected tonight. And so next week we will start having this class in our student center. But listen, guys, that's pretty cool. We've never, ever, ever pretty much sold out the chapel ever. Amen. We sold it out, guys. What that tells me is there's a lot of people hungry for God. And God is hungry for his children. So, because y'all have sold out and we're at over capacity, we will have it in the student center. There will be plenty of space, plenty of room. Everybody will be around a table. Everybody will have a table host. It's going to be an amazing experience. We're not going to allow, I don't want to allow anything like this to distract from what God wants to do. I love that God has blessed us with a facility that we can meet the needs of everybody. And so I promise you we're going to meet your needs. I promise next Sunday at 6 o'clock, we'll have plenty of space, okay? Does that sound good? All right, amen. And if you don't know where the student center is, it's over there. It's over there. Yeah, so where all the cars will be, that's where we'll be. You'll know where we're at. All right, guys. So we talked about encountering somebody unique. Does anybody in here have just a unique story of somebody cool that they've encountered? Anybody at the tables? No, nobody in here has ever met anybody like famous, or nobody's encountered me and it changed their life? Okay. James? Steven Seagal? Oh, yeah. Steven Seagal is part-time awesome is what he is. Full-time awesome. Chuck Norris is part-time awesome. Anybody else? Any unique? Right here, Brad. George Costanza? Come on now. I love it. Hey, we got a poker player in our house. I like your transparency. Praise God. That's awesome. Balake?
One time when my family was skiing.
Yeah. Did he? He right into Julia Roberts? I mean, why not ski right into Julia Roberts? Encounters with people, they're unique, right? Okay, encounters with people in general, they change us. But there's also different kind of encounters that we deal with. And let's look at, can everybody see this pretty much? Okay, so there's also encounters with, and everybody in here can relate with the reality, right? With life circumstances. And a lot of times the effects of encounters with this, all right, it could be a divorce. Some of our encounters could bring greed into our life, or selfishness, despair, perversions, addictions, hopelessness, ineffectiveness, meaningless life. The list of destruction can go on and on. Now, I'm not saying that when reality hits that this is always what happens. But when reality hits at times, these are some characteristics that we deal with living in a world of sin. But God, I love that transition in the Bible where it says but or so. Because that is a transfer in the Bible of something's happening, and then God says, but me. So anytime I've ever encountered Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us, or God the Father or the Holy Spirit, anytime I've ever encountered Jesus, and anytime you ever encounter Jesus, these are the products of him, because these are his characteristics. And he is perfection in everything that he does. So when we encounter Christ, there's hope. There's purpose. Does anybody in here, is anybody like me and desire to have purpose in their life? Does anybody in here, show me your hands if you want to have a meaningless life. A meaningless life. Meaningless. No. I lived a meaningless life forever. Thought it was full of meaning. Had no value. No validity whatsoever. But there's a plan when it comes to God. There's relief, there's direction, there's freedom, joy, peace, strength, relationship. There's your calling, there's your anointing. We get to walk in truth and integrity, which equals godly character, there's restoration. But above all, there's eternal life. These are the characteristics of meeting Jesus. And these characteristics will always override these characteristics, because God's already victorious. We have victory because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. So when we deal with these, when we cry out to Jesus, he replaces them with these. Better yet, when we daily walk with Jesus, these are things that we get to carry in our quiver and shoot the arrows of hope at despair. I've been fighting a battle with my middle daughter for 10 years. She's losing her hearing. We can't figure it out. We have gone from specialists from Houston to Dallas. We have spent endless amounts of money, and that could bring despair, right? Has anybody in here ever experienced despair? Shane, where are you at? Crystal, you ever been there? Looking over a hospital bed at your baby, just hoping, fighting despair? Right here. Right here is the only thing. It's the only thing. I've been an addict. I've been through divorce. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I chased everything in my life other than God for a long time. And it took one encounter with God that I'm going to talk about tonight. And that one encounter with God began to destroy all of this in my life. 30-something years of this, one encounter with God brought this. That's the power of the God we're talking about tonight. Amen? Amen. All right, so what does an encounter do? Let's look at this real quick. What does an encounter do? Number one, an encounter with God reveals our true identity. It reveals our true identity. It reveals our true identity, good or bad. Good or bad. Because when we experience truth, if we're living a life of a lie, it's going to expose that. It's going to show us one way or another our true identity of where we're at, okay? Because identity is who a person is. It doesn't matter who you are right now. What matters is who you can become. God has got a plan. He has got a path. He has got a journey. He has got a life of fulfilling purpose for everyone in this room. For anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, God has a new identity for them. For anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, our identity is who a person is. Kind of like an archaeologist. All right, this is kind of how God works. You know, an archaeologist, they'll go and find like dinosaur bones, whatever it is. But what they do is you ever watch them. See, I couldn't be an archaeologist. I'd want to go take like a, you know, a backhoe rod? A scoop. What's it called? Excavator. Because I'd want to know exactly what was there right then. There would never be no dinosaur bones. I'd tear them all up. But that's me. But God's more like a archaeologist. He dusts away. He'll take and slowly dust away the things in our life and begin to reveal our true identity. See, that's a beautiful thing. I know that God has more for me tomorrow. I'm not where I want to be. I'm a long ways from where God has me going. I get to experience God just a little bit more tomorrow. He's going to brush away a little bit more of that rust tomorrow, a little bit more of that doubt, a little bit more of that fear, and I hope a little bit more of this belly. It's okay to laugh in here, guys. It's all right. No? Okay. Okay. Number two, an encounter with God will show you this, who he really is, his true identity. In Exodus 34, 5 and 7, it said this. It said, the Lord descended into the clouds and stood there with him, talking about Moses, as he called upon the name of the Lord. And it says, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. This is the Lord talking about himself. When God begins to identify himself, we need to pay attention. This is God saying, this is who I am, Moses. This is who you're going to serve. This is who is leading you. This is who is guiding your hand. Encounter, this God in Exodus is the same God that wants to meet you right where you're at tonight. And this is who God says he is. He said, this is who I am. He says, I am the Lord God. He said, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Some of y'all in here have been taught that God's quick to anger. Our God is slow to anger. Abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin. That's the Lord we're talking about. Man, those are characteristics of a God I can buy into, right? That's who I want to lay, that's who I want to lay my hat on. That's who I want to bow at his feet. That's who I want guiding my life. I want a compassionate God. I need a God that's slow to anger because I know I'm going to mess up. I know me. I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. And the fact that I have a God with these characteristics, does that not make some of y'all in here breathe just a little bit easier? Knowing that the God that we're talking about tonight is compassionate. Compassion is one of the most powerful characteristics and things that we can do for people. Imagine if our society just began to show compassion for each other. It would change. It changed the world. It changed the world. He's a God of truth. He's gentle. He is kind. These are the characteristics. If you have ever been taught anything else than a loving, slow to anger God, I want to say I'm sorry that someone taught you that. Because that God is not the God we're talking about. Any God that would send his son. And I'm going to prove that right now. Anybody here have a, just raise your hand as a son. Let me go. Right here, Shane. If the warden at Huntsville was to call you right now, what's your oldest son's name? Ryder. And says, Shane, I tell you what, if you'll give me Ryder and let me put a needle in his arm and inject him, I'll free every prisoner and I let every one of them go. Would you do it? Could anybody in here take their sons or their daughter to the warden in Huntsville and trade their life for every prisoner in there? That's what God did. That's what God did. That's a loving God. And the reason I say that is because if we don't know who God really is, and if we don't know the characteristics of the one we seek, some of this stuff won't make sense. Because some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, we may look at and say, there's no way God can forgive me of that. There's no way God can overlook that. He already has. He already has. It's done. It's gone. It's behind you. He says, I'll give you my son. I'll put the needle in my son's arm. So all of these prisoners can be free. There is a room full of prisoners in here that have been free because of a loving God. That's who we're after. And I'm passionate about it, guys, because I should have had the needle in my arm many a times. But God, I just want to make sure we set that foundation that we truly know the God that we're talking about in here, how much he loves you, how much he considers you, how much he has for you. And he's not done with you yet. He's just beginning. And it doesn't matter if you're in here and you're 60 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 40. It doesn't matter if you're 18. It does not matter what you've done to this point. But you all now have a responsibility because you've heard the truth of what we do walking forward, right? Amen. The second thing it says who you really are and who you are not. See, I was somebody. I am not no more. And then it's your present identity. I was somebody yesterday. I'm not him no more. I made some mistakes yesterday and I learned from them. I'm not that guy no more. I made some mistakes today. I'm going to learn from them and I don't have to be that guy tomorrow. I get to continuously grow in these encounters with Christ and begin and daily allow God to reveal to me who I am through him. We're going to ask a question in a little bit about who do you want to become? I know who I want to become. I want to become more like Jesus, because if I can ever figure out how to be more like Jesus every day, it'll change every single thing in my life. I just want to be more like God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11 says this. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We were all those at one time. But God. Every one of us fit into that category at one time. But the day we receive salvation and proclaim Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there was a but God. And if anybody in here, underneath the sound of my voice, does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, please see me after class. Please. Be the greatest decision you've ever made. But he goes on to say this. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You're clean. Sanctified means you're set apart. If you're in this room tonight, and if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are set apart from everybody else. You are set apart to be different. You're set apart from the unrighteous. You're set apart from the adulterer. You're set apart from the drunkard. Those characteristics don't have to belong to you no more. That is not how God sees you. By his son, we were justified. Basically, that's saying because of what Jesus did, because of his act on the cross, now we get to have this unbroken relationship with Jesus and with the Father. We are justified. But I love that word sanctified. We're set apart, guys. We are set apart to be different. There's two parts of that in sanctification. Number one, we're set apart. So we don't look like everybody else. But number two, guys, we're set apart. We shouldn't look like everybody else. The world should know you're different by your daily walk. Your daily walk should show that you're different. People who encounter you unexpectedly should say, there's something different about that Eduardo. I don't know what it is. Eduardo, how do you deal with this? How do you walk through this? Why are you so kind? And that right there, the walk of Christ, is the greatest opportunity where we get to share what Jesus is doing. He don't want me to fall on him. That's what sanctification means, God. We're set apart to be different. We're set apart to be different. I got to keep going. The next one is who you can become with his help in your identity in Christ. It's good news right here, guys. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. If you have salvation and proclaim Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, old things have passed away. You are a new creation. Do not allow the enemy to steal territory and steal ground from you and your family anymore. You are a new creation in the eyes of God. Your old has washed away. I am not the old Justin Lindsay. I seen a picture of me the other day. And when I looked at that picture, I could see despair and destruction in my face. And that's no joke. But when I see myself now, man, I get to see myself in a reflection of the Father. Oh, man, I see purpose. I see a plan. I see a hope. I see a calling. I see what God intended me to be. And I can tell you that is the greatest. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you can sit at the feet of Jesus, and when you look up, you see the reflection of him and know that he has you. And that he has a plan for you. There's nothing this world can throw at you that you can't walk through because he is a God of the valleys and the God of the mountains. There was a time, I want to share this and we're going to go to break. I was 36 years old. I'd been fishing at Toledo Bend. That was my identity. I eat and breathed. Fishing, catfishing, running trot lines and stuff. We were good at it. Something that I loved. Wasn't doing nothing bad. but it was my identity. Me and my wife were in the middle of a divorce. If y'all don't know my story, me and my wife, Whitney, who will be here tomorrow, or will be here next Sunday, she's at the hospital with my daughter. In December of 2017, I divorced my wife. And God has completely restored us since. Been married, I don't know, 14 years. Been back remarried four. I was driving home, or I got a call, and my baby, my little Cody Beth, she was 3 years old, said, they're having to rush her to the hospital. She's fixing to have an emergency appendicitis. Yes, that. Taking her appendix out. And if you know with a kid at that age, it's very dangerous. And I freaked out. And I left at 3 o'clock in the morning. Left my dad and a bunch of guys down at our lake house. And I left at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember driving down Highway 191. It's a road from that goes from where we was at to Logansport, Louisiana. From Logansport, I'm trying to get to the hospital in Nacogdoches. And on that road, I am screaming at the top of my lungs, God, where are you? My life was flipped upside down. I lost my wife. I lost my kids pretty much. Nothing I touched eased the pain. Nothing I did fulfilled me. And I'm driving down the road, and this is no exaggeration. And I did. I yelled that to God in my most desperate voice, and I was like, where are you? And he had been with me the whole time, and I went to sleep behind the wheel of my truck on Highway 191. And an hour and a half later, I woke up in Appleby Sand. I have no clue how I got there. I was by myself. I know how I got there. And all I can remember on that drive was the presence of God's love pressing up down upon me. And in that truck, he showed me who I was. And I did not like who I was. God, I did not like who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was desperate. And I could tell you all about the Bible. I could tell you stories in the Bible. I could quote scripture. I could even preach it. But God, I didn't live it. And I was desperate. I didn't want to go on no more. And when I woke up on that, I woke up just outside of Nacogdoches. The presence of God was in my truck so heavy. I encountered God in my truck that night to the point, that morning at 3 o'clock, where I told him, I said, I don't care what it costs me, I'm yours. Because I cannot do this no more. That encounter with God showed me who I was. It showed me I was lost, I was hurting, I was a man of despair, I was a man of destruction, I was an adulterer, I was an addict, I was everything I swore I would never be. I was divorced. I was looking at another man fixing to raise my kids. I was a terrible friend, terrible father. I then got to where the business I was in, I was horrible at what I did. Because I had lost everything. And that night, that morning, at 3:30 in the morning, whatever time it was, when I walked into that hospital room and my baby's laying there, and God has, because the doctor said, he said, I don't know if we can do this surgery, but we can't make it to Houston. We have no choice. So I'm crying out for my baby. I'm crying out for my life. And God met me in my old beat up red truck. And I walked in there and I told my wife that night, my Whitney, I told her, I said, I'm done. I just want my family back and I just want God. That single encounter that night changed my life. When I tell you I'm the most unlikely suspect to be up here on this microphone, I'm the most unlikely suspect to be up here on this microphone. But you know what? I encountered God and he changed everything. I'm on staff at Timber Creek Church now. Never would have thought that in a million years. I knew my whole life I was called to full-time ministry, and I run from it with everything in my life and everything in my body. Because I wanted to do what Justin wanted to do. And God showed me what 35 years of Justin would do. But in an instant, he showed me what one moment with him could do. And guys and girls, ladies, men, I'm here to tell you, the same God that met this wretched person in that truck at 3:30 in the morning is the same God that wants to meet you right where you're at tonight. And it's the same God that wants to change your life no matter where you're at in your walk. I have every expectation in the world that God's going to change my life through this process too. That's the reason I'm still in here. Because I do not want to stop encountering God. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to go to break. Father, I just thank you that, God, whether we're driving down the road, we're sitting in your chapel, God, we're at the end of our ropes, wherever, whenever, God, you're ready to meet your children if we're willing to allow you to come in. God, please meet us tonight where we're at. We just thank you for this opportunity to know you more in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to take about a 3 or 4 minute break, 5 minute break, get you some coffee, water, go to the bathroom. We've got snacks at the table, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. All right, guys, we'll jump into our next part, to the next section. Everybody get coffee, water, everybody good? You know at church we're going to have coffee. We may not have a lot, but we're going to have coffee. That'll be the first thing that I do when I get done, is because if I was drinking coffee up here, it would. I'd sound like an auctioneer. But we're going to have coffee. Want to move into the next section of this. We just talked about, we just talked basically about what does an encounter do. Now we want to look at really modern day encounters, because here's the thing, is we're studying the Bible, all right? And the Bible is set in biblical times in the sense of it's set in the Old Testament, it's set in the New Testament. But the brilliance of God, the true author of the Bible, though it was handwritten by man's hand, every word of the Bible is God's breath. It was breathed onto these pages through these authors. And God is so brilliant, so perfect, so powerful, so much bigger than us, that this was wrote over this span of years by different authors, but it applies directly to everything that we deal with today. That's brilliance right there, guys. That's true brilliance. And the enemy would love to get us to think and get us to focus on, well, that was for them, not y'all. That was for the disciples. That was for Moses. That was for Abraham. He would love to do that. See, the enemy's one of his greatest tools. His number one tool is to have Christians believe that there is not a God. If he can get you to say that's not even real, that's his number one tool. One of his top tools that he uses is to make you believe that the God we're talking about is not relevant to us today. If he can get you to think, well, that applied to them, it doesn't apply to me. That's not for me. The Holy Spirit still alive and well, people. Holy Spirit is that peace you feel, right? That calmness you feel, right? That's the presence of God in your life. That conviction you feel, listen, that's not your conscience. That is the gentle conviction of the Holy Spirit that is alive and well. I was sitting in here tonight prepping, or this afternoon, prepping and getting ready. And I was sitting back there and there was nobody in here. And I began to pray. And I just felt this overwhelming peace come upon me when I was there. And I just began to smile. And I know why. I know why God brought this peace, because you see, I'm a planner in a sense. If you knew my wife, this would freak my wife out. Because, like, my wife is the most organized human being on the planet. Yes, whoever said that knows my wife. Everything that she has is color-coded, all right? She has everything, you know, everything planned out for the next week. Now, I destroy all of that because I don't plan nothing. I just shoot from the hip. But my wife is an organizational giant. That's what her anointing is in, is organization. And so I'm sitting here, and I don't have my wife who keeps me on track, okay? Because, like I said, I come from a family of preachers. If I didn't have someone back there telling me time frames, I would still be going from the first session. Y'all can say amen. Y'all know me. But I'm sitting back here, and this peace come upon me, and I was like, I knew it was God, and I know why now. Because there's 40-something plus people in here tonight that we weren't prepared for. Amen. That's right. Praise God. I hope we sell out the student center and have to move it into the worship center. Come on. But that peace that come upon me was the same God that walked on water, that turned the water into wine. All right? He's the same one that touched Lazarus. He's the same one that touched the widower's son and said, "Get up and speak." The boy was dead. He was in a coffin. He was on his way. They were in the funeral procession. This widower encountered God. He encountered Jesus. And Jesus touched the coffin. He told the widower, he said, "Hey, it's okay. I got him." He touched a coffin, the very thing that represented this boy's death. And Jesus told him, he said, "Get up and speak." So the very thing that they were fixing to bury him in is the very platform that God used for him to speak. That'll preach. And it says when the boy spoke, the word of Jesus spread throughout Judea like wildfire. That God, the one that told the one that told Lazarus, he said, "Boy, get up out of that tomb and let's go." That's the same God that met me in here today. Because he knew that his children were hungry for his word. He knew that this room was going to be overflowing. He knew it was going to be full. And he knew I wasn't going to have my wife to say, "Hey, what do we do?" I mean that with everything that I am. So the peace of God settled upon me. That's exciting to me to know that the same God that turned the water into wine, the same one that walked upon the water and spoke to the storm. Can you imagine speaking to a storm and it laying down at your feet? Me and my wife and kids got to go to Colorado over Christmas. And we were driving, and I mean, I'm from East Texas, so I've never seen mountains like this in my life. And when I seen them, this is what I told my wife. I said, "Here's what blows my mind, is that the God that we serve, the God that we have the privilege of serving daily, could tell that mountain to move, and that mountain wouldn't have a choice." Does anybody in here tonight have some mountains in their life that they would love to see moved? Well, the God that wants to reveal himself to you can speak and it be moved. And as I drove through those mountains, my mind could not comprehend the power of our God. That not only he spoke them into existence, but he could say, "Mountain, get up and move," and it would not have a choice. If you've never been to Colorado, drive to Colorado. And when you see the mountains, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's the same God that told the ocean, "You stop right here. You cannot go beyond this point." That's the same God that wants to reveal himself to you, and that is the same God that wants you to encounter him in a special, special way. Number one, keys to modern day encounters with God is awareness. We just covered this, awareness. We must be aware that the fact that God longs to reveal himself to us. God still longs to reveal himself to us. The God that speaks to mountains, the God that walks on water, the one that spoke creation into existence, longs to reveal himself to us tonight. I can't wrap my mind around that sometimes. Everything I've done, everything I've been through, everything that I've seen, God says, I want you to know me more, Justin. Rodney, everything you've had to experience, brother, everything you've gone through, when he looks at you and he says, I want you to know me more. I want to reveal myself to you more. He still longs to reveal himself to us, and the enemy would love more than anything for you to consider and say, yeah, not me. That may be for everybody else, but there's no way God longs to reveal himself to me, but that's a lie. There is not a person that God looks at that does not hold intrinsic value to him. There is not a person in this room that God calls more valuable than the next. One God died for all of us equally. It don't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter how much money you make, what you drive. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what social group you're in. It doesn't matter what your clothes look like. It doesn't matter, because God sees a child. That's it. And he longs to reveal himself to you. Number two, keys to encountering God is intentionality and focus. We must intentionally make time to spend time with God. You guys, this is important. This is easy, but it's very important. We have to be intentional about our time. So pick a place, pick a time, and show up consistently. You want to experience God, pick a place, pick a time, and show up consistently. And I want to look at this from just a little different angle. Okay, I'm married and I have three daughters, so I'm learning a lot about women. A lot. I'm learning a lot about women that I really didn't think I needed to know. But it's there. Don't pray for patience. He'll give you daughters. He won't give you patience. He'll give you daughters. This is what I've learned. All right? If y'all know me, I love to cook. Oh, my gosh, I love to cook. It's one of my most favorite things in the world to do. Obviously. I'm working on it. I can cook for my wife, okay? I can even do the dishes. I can attempt to do laundry because I'm terrible at it, but I still attempt it. If you attempt it and you mess the clothes up, they can't get mad at you because you're like, well, I tried. I can clean the house. I can mow the yard. I can do all of these acts. But you want to know where the most value and the most intimacy and the most depth of relationship comes from my wife? Is when I intentionally show up and spend time with her. When I turn the TV off and genuinely talk to my wife and listen and hear what she has to say. It has transformed my marriage. Men, you want to transform your marriage? Turn the TV off. Seriously. Ed? That's Tammy. I seen that. If you need a ride home tonight, I got you. You may want to talk to some of these guys from Nacogdoches. You may. Women, you want to strengthen your marriage? Quit being so busy doing busy work and be intentional about sitting down with your husband and just talking. Why do I say that? God calls us the bridegroom. When he looks at us, he that's how he sees us. And if me spending time with my wife and kids strengthens my relationship with my wife and kids, how much more would it strengthen my relationship with Jesus? The most powerful thing I can do during the day, it's not read my Bible. It's not spend time in praise and worship. The most powerful thing that I do every day is I have a set time where I turn off all the noise in my life. And I do this. And I say, God, just move in my life today. I tell him every day, send me, I'll go. But I find that quiet place and I kill all the noise until God shows up. And he's never failed me yet. And I've learned more about who I am and who God is in those quiet encounters when I quit talking, because we think we need to tell God what we need. He created us. He's got it figured out. He just wants to spend time with you. See what Jesus did with the disciples. Spend time with them. Before he asked them to do something, it says he would take them away, they'd get to a quiet place, and they'd spend time with each other. What did Jesus do right before he handed his life over? He was on his knees, spending time with the Father. He's headed to the cross, people. He knows what lies ahead of him. He knows what he's fixing to experience. He knows he's fixing to have his flesh ripped from his body, and he knows he's fixing to have to die for our sins. What would I do? I would go find him. I would be like, Rodney's one of my best friends. I'm like, Rod, we got some stuff happening. You think maybe we could, let's go to the deer leash for a little while. Let me get some fun in. Cannon, let me go see if I can beat you in golf. I know that's not possible. I would find something to do, because if I know that I'm fixing to make the greatest sacrifice of my life, I'm going to find some way to fulfill myself, right? So did Jesus. But he understood what true fulfillment was. And he did that so we would know. What does he do? He doesn't go call Peter and say, hey, fire up the boat, son. Let's go drop them nets, go fish one more time. He gets on his knees. And he spends quality alone time to the point where blood was dripping from his brow. He was pursuing his Father so much because he knew that was the only source that was going to get him where he was going. And he knew, and this ought to break your heart in a good way, he knew that when he was hanging on that cross, that was all he was going to have was the Father. That's it. That's it. He was intentional in spending time with his Father, and he was focused on his mission. Thank God Jesus was focused on his mission, because if Jesus wasn't focused on his mission, guys, none of this right here would be happening right now. None of this would be happening. Number three, now this is going to hurt some of you. This is going to sting a little bit. Surrender. We must allow the encounters we experience with God to change us. We don't like the word surrender. The reason why we don't like the word surrender is because society says, hey, if you want to win, go get it. If you want to be successful, you have to conquer, right? That's what society says. Well, God works in reverse economics. This is the beautiful thing about our walk with Christ. God says, you want to be victorious, surrender. Give up. That's palms up. When Jesus was in the garden, he was in his most vulnerable state, but in his most powerful position, because he was on his knees with his head in the ground. They could have, a guard or any of the Roman soldiers, anybody, they could have come up. There was nobody watching his back. He was in his most vulnerable position right before he gave his life up. He was on his knees, not paying attention to nothing, but that was the most powerful position he could be in. It's because he was surrendering. What did he say? He said, God, if there's any other way, if not, thy will be done. That's surrender. That's why we're victorious. When we give up our will, when we quit saying God Justin's way, all right, God Brad's way, God Eric's way, God Zeb's way, God Ed's way, God Shane's way, God Cannon's way, and we say, God, your will. That is the most powerful stance that we can stand as a believer, is in a stance of surrender. And when we surrender our life to Jesus, and we surrender, I challenge you, you want to encounter God, go find that quiet place tonight when you get home and throw your hands up in the air and say, God, I surrender. Wait and see if he doesn't show up. I was 35 years old standing on my front porch of this little trailer house I lived in. My life was an absolute wreck. I've told this story several times. And I cussed God with everything that was in me. And this is what I told him. This was 2 days after I'd come home from fishing. And I said, I'll tell you what, big boy. It's what I tell you. I talked to God. Me and God's got a real unique relationship. And I said, I'll tell you what, big boy. You think you got my life figured out more than I do. Won't you give it a shot? I threw my hands up and I said, I can't do it no more. I can't do it. I'm exhausted. I cannot do it no more. And I said, I surrender my life to you right now. Have your way with me. If you are God, have your way with me. And I've never, ever had to go backwards since. And it took complete surrender. It's one of the scariest things I've ever done. But it's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, was when I said, God, I can't do this no more. Your way, not mine. Now, I haven't always understood his ways, but he has never, ever, ever failed me. Ever. Number four, persistence and patience. We must seek him until we see him. We must seek him until we see him. You know, we're in East Texas, and I know a lot of you guys hunting fish. Ladies, you ain't out of the woods neither. Y'all like to shop or whatever. I have watched my wife. She is a Black Friday shopper. Hardcore, buddy. Make T-shirts, gets her girls together. Hardcore. Any Black Friday shoppers in here? Come on, three of y'all. Come on, ladies. Y'all, I know y'all like a good deal. Y'all will wait in lines. You'll wait. You will fight over that TV or that curling iron. You will go through the. You'll go through the rain. You'll drive to Houston. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get that deal. Come on. I know y'all. Y'all ain't lying to me. I got a house full of women. I know how it is. But men, what do? Huh? We'll burn up our money and our resources building a plot for a deer, setting that deer stand, hoping that Joker, we'll spend $2,000 and shoot a doe. You know what I'm talking about, Rodney. He said he wishes it was only $2,000. You could have bought a whole cow and had it processed. Got 40 pounds of meat. You guys that fish, you go cut down trees, steal Christmas trees from people when Christmas is over, throw them in your boat, go out there and bait them fish, and you'll sit out there with a fishing pole all day hoping you catch a fish. I hope. And you'll spend hours of time and money and resources with a fishing pole in your hand and a pack of crackers and one bottle of water, starving to death, about dehydrated, hoping you catch one little old fish. Yeah. And you wonder why your wife gets so mad. You're like, where's the, you know, you bring home six fish and spent $1,800. That's the reason I run trout lines. I like to catch. I don't like to fish. Why do I say that? We will be persistent and patient for so much stuff in our life. We will seek the things that we want, and if we would put half of the energy into pursuing God and seeking God till He shows up in our life, He'd fill our boats full. And I'm not talking about with white perch. I'm talking about with the lost. I'm talking about with purpose. He would fill that shopping buggy up with freedom, with deliverance, with hope, with a promise. The enemy has done such a great job of dressing up things that we spend our time and energy on. I'm world's worst. I'm preaching to myself. I love the fish. No, I like to run lines. I hate, if I'm not catching something, I'm out. I can't do it. You give me a deer stand, if they're not out there in 10 minutes, I'm asleep. Okay? I'm asleep. But I will watch a brisket smoke for 24 hours. Amen? I sure will. Will work myself to death for a brisket and a rack of ribs. Amen. I'll cut down trees. All right, split wood. I'll put all that energy. When God said, I want to give you bread of life. He says, I want to give you something, not where you can just feed your crew, where you can feed the multitudes. See, when we persistently and patiently wait on God, I can make you this promise. He will show up and you will encounter Him. And that encounter is more life-changing than the biggest buck, a basket full of fish, or the greatest sale, or the greatest movie, or whatever it is that you wait on. If we will learn to adjust in our life the things that matter, because here's the deal. We will make time and resources for what matters, period. We will. If it matters enough to us, we will find a way to make it happen. And God is saying to His children, He's saying it to me, how about me? Will you wait? Will you persistently and patiently pursue me till I show up and change your life? And if we will, the encounter and the experience that we will get to be a part of will not only change your life, but everybody else's around you. See, Jesus isn't about just meeting you so you're changed. Jesus wants to meet you so your group is changed. So when, listen, there's 144 people in here tonight. Imagine if all 144 of us experienced Jesus in a new way and we all connected with one person this week. That's 288 people that know, that have an opportunity to experience Jesus. You see how that works? He's not this big. We got to take Him out of the box. We got to take Him out of the box. He is bigger than what we allow Him to be, in the sense that God doesn't want to just change us for us. He didn't tell the widower's son to get up and go back home. He says, son, get up and speak so the name of Jesus spread through Judea like wildfire. Imagine if 144 of His children begin to sit up and speak and persistently and patiently pursue Him, how the word of God would spread throughout Angelina, Nacogdoches County. We have a responsibility in this. And I'm not telling you you got to preach from a pulpit or go to a revival, but that coworker that you see every day that's at the end of his rope or her rope, what if they could experience Jesus through you? You may be, Zeb, you may be the only person that they get to experience Jesus through that day. And if we don't have these encounters with God and we don't know who God is, how can we tell them about what God's done in our life? God doesn't want to just have encounters with us for us. God's here to change the world, and he wants to use us to do it. I can't make it through my day without encounters with God. I tried for a long, long time, and I like to kill myself over it. When I realized that all God wanted me to do was this, and I surrendered my God. Do I have it figured out? Oh, my gosh, no. I mess up every day. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you, I promise. She'd say, bless it. But my hope doesn't ride on me no more. My hope rides in the fact that I get to experience God in a unique every way, and the only thing I got to do is show up. That's it. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge this class. Are you willing to allow God to reveal himself to you? Are you willing to acknowledge that God wants to show up in your life? And are you willing to open your hands, palm up, and say, God, use me. Send me, I'll go. Change me. If we are, if we're willing, I can make you a promise, God will do his part. And then number five, the last one, is understanding. Understanding. Ask and be able to answer these questions to yourself. What have these encounters revealed to us about God and ourselves? We're going to take just a couple minutes at the table. We still have plenty of time, guys. But we're going to take just a minute at the table. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Kind of a twofold question, but just this is something that you can do on your own. Who will you become after the encounter? Better yet, who do you want to become? I want to become the Mississippi River. Well, what is this crazy joker talking about? I want to become the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River is one of the most powerful waterways in the United States. It carries life, tugboats. It's a resource. It produces energy. There's spots it's 2 or 3 miles wide, maybe even bigger. But I want you to think, if the Mississippi River, say at its widest point, was 3 miles wide, but it was only 4 inches deep, what would it be? It'd be a flooded field, right? It'd be powerless. There wouldn't be life in it. It wouldn't produce resources, right? The animals, that the fish and stuff that live in it that people catch and fish and eat would die. What makes the Mississippi River so mighty and so powerful is not just its width, but its width and its depth. Its width and its depth. That's what I want. That's what I want out of this. I want to know God deeper. I want God, through this 7-week class that ends in this retreat, I want God to add depth to my life. Because I want to be a resource for the kingdom. I want to be one of the things that God says, put that tugboat on him. I want God to use me like the disciples, and I want to feed people. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to listen to my wife and hear my wife more. Rod, I want to be a better friend. I haven't been the greatest friend here lately. Candon, I want to be a better brother. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better nephew. But more than anything, I just want to know God more and a deeper level through this process. Because if I will allow God to add depth, it'll make me a better husband. It'll make me a better worker. It'll make me a better friend. It'll make me a better brother. It'll make me a better dad. It'll make me a better leader. But most of all, it'll condition my heart to love people even more. I just want to love people and meet them right where they're at, because that's what Jesus did. So if you will, take about 2 or 3 minutes and then we'll wrap up. I love all the talk at the table. That's one of the things that we'll really do in this class is we'll have a lot of time where we talk around the table. And then it's, we go from level to level each week, guys. It'll get a little deeper next week. We're gonna cover some tough areas, some tough things. But I can tell you, if you just stick with the process, guys, you're gonna hear that a lot. You're gonna hear buy into the process, stay with the process, I promise. I can't promise you a lot, but I can promise you this. If you'll buy into the process and stay with it, I promise you God will change your life. He really will. Raise your hand if you've ever been through encounter. John, look around. The reason why there are some of them that are coming back through. The reason why they're in here is because they believe in it, they know the transformation that happens through what God does here. And so please, I promise next week there will be more space. Everybody will be around a table. Everybody's going to be around a table. Everybody will have a table hose. What an amazing problem to have. To sell out, to set this thing out, that's great. So that's pretty good. You always get to tell everybody we were the first encounter class to sell out the chapel. So there's we'll get out of here and I'll close this in prayer. We have a lot of goals in this class, okay? And in order, one of our goals at the end of this thing ends in a retreat, guys, that's life-changing. And no, it's not some weird, goofy retreat. We're not going to ask you to drink Kool-Aid. Okay, so, well, maybe some of y'all. No, there's no goofy Kool-Aid. It's an amazing retreat at a beautiful facility called Water's Edge. We have the whole facility to ourselves. There's nobody else there. Amazing accommodations, guys. It's right down the road. It's about 40 minutes from here. And so we'll have a lot more details coming. We do encourage everybody, this is only a 7-week class, and each week builds off of the previous week, and it leads into this very unique, awesome retreat. And I can't give out details about what we do, whatever. It's life-changing. And so we really ask that everybody, try not to miss more than 2 classes. We really hope everybody don't miss at all. And listen, we are not going to meet Super Bowl Sunday. There will be like 6 people in here. And it'd all be ladies, okay? So we are going to skip Super Bowl Sunday, okay? So we won't meet that week, but we'll meet every other week. And like I said, we have more details coming. But here's one of the goals that I want. And I want this not just for me, I want this for everybody. I don't want to leave this process and this class and just say, hey guys, I went through a class called Encounter. I truly want each and every one of us to leave this class and say, I experienced God in a new way through this experience called Encounter. That's what we want for everybody. And we want it for everybody because we know what it's done for our life. Y'all have all had encounters with God and you know the power of what it does in your life. And so we truly want everybody to leave this class, this semester, looking back on the 2021 spring Encounter semester and say, man, God met me and I got to encounter God in a mighty, mighty way. And that excites me. Does that excite anybody else? Amen. All right, well, I'm going to close this in prayer. And remember, we'll meet in the Student Center 6 o'clock next Sunday. We love you guys. Hey, one of the things I did not tell you is y'all did not know when you signed up for this class that we are officially family now. Right? We are a family. You too, Cannon. Right? I know you've been trying to get in my family for a long time because you think I'm awesome. You're in it. If y'all don't know this man, this is Cannon Earp. This is Wyatt Earp's long, long lost cousin. He is the basketball coach at Hudson now. So if y'all have any beef with the basketball team, y'all just see this guy right here. And that's his lovely, beautiful wife, Miss Samantha. I see you. It's okay. You can acknowledge that you know him. All right, guys. Hey, we love y'all. I'm going to break us in prayer and we can be dismissed. Father, we just thank you. God, in such uncertain circumstances in our world, God, we're battling an enemy that we cannot see, God, that we cannot physically touch, It has brought destruction upon households. But God. God, through one of the most unique, trying years, God, you have multiplied your church. God, and I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the lost. And God, we just ask, Father, and we receive in faith for the multiplication, God, that we may know you more and that we may reach more lost. And God, that we may experience freedom in a new way, God, like we've never experienced before. In a relationship with you, God, like we've never experienced before. God, I pray protection over everybody in this room. God, I pray favor over them as they go out through the week. I pray favor over their families. God, I just pray and continue to lift up our country to you, God. And I just pray that you do what only you can do, God, and draw your children to you so they may know you more. God, use us. Use us to be world changers, God. Use us to change our community, God. Use us to speak to the multitudes or speak to the one that they too may have an opportunity, God, to know you. We love you, Father. We praise you, and we thank you for this amazing opportunity, this amazing night. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.